good friend of the program, former PGA Tour pro and current analyst for both CBS and ESPN. It is Ian Baker Finch. Ian, good morning to you. Happy Sunday. Happy Easter.
Good morning. Same to you. Happy Easter. Hope you're enjoying it back home. It's beautiful up here in Augusta, though. Absolutely Chamber of Commerce Day today.
Well, that's good news because I'm looking forward to watching an exciting final round beginning at 2 o'clock today on CBS because it seems, you know, we've been talking about it all for the last couple of weeks leading up to this Masters, the 73rd edition. A lot of people have been saying and kind of bemoaning the fact that it's been since 2004 that we had an exciting back nine final round charge, Phil Mickelson shooting 31 and overtaking Ernie Els. But you take a look at this leaderboard, Cabrera and Perry at the top, big names like Jim Furyk and Sabatini in the mix, and then you go down to 4-under, and even bigger names, the biggest names on the leaderboard, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, one would think that today's final round is going to be awfully exciting.
It'll be made even more exciting if Tiger and Phil can get off to a great start and get it to 4 or 5 under par through 8 holes, and then make the leaders start thinking about protecting their score rather than going out and just playing golf. So that would really make it exciting. That would get the crowds really on edge, and I think it's a possibility. Tiger has only had 12 birdies in the first 3 rounds. He's just hasn't found the touch on the greens. He's left a lot of uphill putts short. If he could get something going today, and Phil also, if he could do the same thing, that would really put the pressure on Cabrera, Perry, Campbell, not so much Jim Furyk. I think he knows how to handle pretty much anything these days, but I do think as much as those guys are very good players, kind of a fragile top three. I'm not expecting them to do anything really special.
Ian, going along that same line of thinking, because we talked to Tim Rosenfort a little earlier, and he kind of gave the impression that they're too far ahead. You know, as spectacular as Phil and Tiger can be, 7 shots is probably too much to make up. But I think, like you said, you know, if they can get hot early and before these guys even tee off, you know, maybe get something in their mind like, hey, let's just protect 11 under rather than try and go even lower. From your perspective as a player, how important is it being in the final group or within a couple shots of the lead of a tournament that you've had major experience in the past, like Cabrera and Furyk have had, winning a major, versus just playing well at that time? In other words, do you draw on, you know, the fact that you've won a U.S. Open or a major, to help you in a tournament like this? Or is it just the fact that you feel like you're playing well and that should be enough to give you confidence?
Well, I think that's a really, really good point, because it's not like you consciously think, how did I draw on the resources last time I won a major? It's just, it's there. It's that inner confidence that, hey, I've done this before. I know that you've just got to accept what happens. And I think a guy like Jim Furyk has a better chance of doing that, perhaps, than anybody else. He really is tough. Angel Cabrera, when he's on, he has the flair and the ability to do anything. I mean, he's very, very special, extremely long hitter. But he hasn't really been playing that well. I'm not really expecting him to be that confident today, although he's the sort of guy that can just go and let it happen. And similarly, Kenny Perry, too, has been playing so well, he can have that attitude of, okay, let's just go keep doing what we've been doing. The hard thing for him will be keeping that easygoing, kind of laid-back feeling and expression outwardly, during the pressure situation of the second nine here at Augusta. That's going to be the hard thing, I think, for those guys, the swashbuckling, let's just go out and do it type style of guys in comparison to a Jim Furyk who's really workmanlike and just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it. He's like the Energizer Bunny.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, and joined on the line by our good friend Ian Baker Finch, a golf analyst for CBS and ESPN. He is a major winner as well, 1991 British Open at Royal Birkdale. And Ian will be calling the action and the first 2 holes of Amen Corner, 11 and 12 today on CBS, starting at 2 o'clock. And Ian, obviously for Tiger and Phil to make a run and get in the mix, it's really a two-part question. It's a two-part equation. They need to go low, and they need the guys the top, Cabrera and Perry and Campbell and Furyk, to falter. It sounds like you think the faltering part is very possible with Perry and Cabrera. As far as Tiger and Phil going low, the number is like a 64 or 65. What do you think we're going to see from the chemistry, because they are paired together today? Do you think they feed off each other and help each other maybe score even better?
Well, that's a possibility. If one of them does start going really low, the other can just slipstream in there behind him. And as you know, and have been aware of watching many tournaments over the years, you do often see two really good scores together. Similarly, you see two really bad scores together. It definitely goes with the territory. But I don't expect both Phil and Tiger to go really, really low, but I do expect one of them to go low early and sort of provide some sort of excitement and extra pressure on those leaders. I'd be surprised if they both shot 64, but I definitely think one of them is capable of doing it. More than likely, they both shoot 68, 69 and finish in the top five. But even a 68, getting to seven under par, that's not out of the realms of possibility of being the winning score at the end of the day. I know both guys at 11 under in the lead. Trevor Immelman last year shot 75 on the last day from a big lead and still won. Tiger sort of trying to get in there to win but couldn't quite make the birdie putts. You really never know, but I do know one thing. The pressure on the second nine at the Masters is immense, more than any other tournament. It can also be exciting for those that are sort of charging. And we've seen seven and eight shot swings many, many times before on Masters Sunday. So, you know, it's going to be an exciting viewing, that's for sure.
Ian, we keep focusing on Tiger and Phil as the potential guys, rightfully so. They have that pedigree in them to do that. But is there anybody else from that you've been able to watch this week more closely than just us, you know, watching it on TV, like an Anthony Kim, you know, who's got, I think, 17 birdies in the last 2 days, Nick Watney, Stephen Ames, somebody? Is there somebody else that's really playing good that we really haven't noticed as much that maybe you've seen that might make a run also today?
Well, I'm sitting down in the best seat in the house on a little tower about 25 feet in the air, directly behind the shots at 12. So I'm seeing all of the shots at 12. I'm seeing all of the play at 11 green. I'm right there, sitting there 7 hours a day for the last 4 days. And Hunter Mahan has taken six twice at 11 and a triple bogey six at 12.
Wow.
So that's seven over par, and he's in a tied 10th position, the same as Tiger and Phil, at four under, and he's wasted seven in three holes there at 11 and 12. So Hunter Mahan is playing great. Remember, we saw him at the Ryder Cup last year in the U.S. Great Victory, and he's a heck of a player. Just a young fella, 26 years of age. I think he's going to be really, really good. And another young fella that's playing great so far this season, not so good this week, but also in that tied 10th position, is Nick Watney. So they're two young stars that are worth watching over the next few years. I think they'll win a lot of tournaments.
Well, Ian, you mentioned Hunter Mahan, and he is paired with Anthony Kim. That's going to be a phenomenal pairing. They go off 20 minutes before Tiger and Phil. Talk about some star-studded pairings. 115, Hunter Mahan and Anthony Kim, two of those heroes from last year's Ryder Cup team. And, of course, Anthony Kim setting a new Masters record with 11 birdies in his round on Friday. So that's going to be must-see TV, seeing them come down Amen Corner and seeing Tiger and Phil follow them up about 20 minutes later. And I love the way this final round is shaping up, because you see Tiger and Phil 135 pairing. That is exactly 1 hour before the final pairing of Angel Cabrera and Kenny Perry at 235. It's the seventh to last group, and so therefore they're going to be posting a score, possibly a 64 or 65, whatever it is, right around the time that final pairing is going through your Amen Corner right there. I mean, it's almost like it's set up perfectly.
Yeah, you couldn't write a better script, could you? And I think with the two young studs, Anthony Kim and Hunter Mahan, going out that extra half hour earlier, I mean, they can be four or five under through eight holes, one or two of them, and apply a bit of pressure as well, because everyone knows, even though Anthony Kim's only playing in his first Masters, that record of 11 birdies, if you're making putts around here, you can definitely go low. The par fives are reachable, all four of them, for the big hitters. So there's definitely a lot of birdie opportunities. It's set up perfectly. We've got those two young guys playing great that can, you know, shoot anything, as Anthony Kim proved to us. You then got Tiger and Phil. Then you've got guys like Steve Stricker, Jim Furyk, guys that can certainly win. Jim Furyk's a U.S. Open champion, so he's tough. You know, Rory Sabatini, Tim Clark, a couple of South Africans. You know, Gary Player played in his last Masters this week, his 52nd Masters. And the 73-year-old's been such a great inspiration that maybe a young South African can do well today and win another green jacket for that country.
Ian, last question for me. You mentioned Gary Player, also Fuzzy Zeller, his last time playing here at Augusta. And potentially Greg Norman, you know, might not make it back again. Give me an impression or two of all three of those guys as more of a fan than a player that you've been able to watch them the last, you know, few decades, and what you think about them at Augusta.
Well, Fuzzy is just such a great guy and fun-loving guy. You know, almost the antithesis of Gary Player. He's 50 pound heavier and 20 years younger, and he looks 20 years older than Gary. But he's just a great fan favorite and a wonderful guy. Everyone loves him. Had his daughter Gretchen caddying for him this week. Had a tearful finale at walking up 18. He won in his first Masters back in 79, so that was his 31st appearance this week. Greg Norman, probably won't see him again. You know, it's very hard to qualify for the Masters if you're not playing the regular tour, because the easiest way in is to be in the top 50 in the world rankings. Hard for Greg to get back into there playing senior tour golf. So he needs another great finish at an Open Championship or something like that to get back. They don't invite senior players. You have to be a regular tour player or in that top 50 in the world. So maybe not see Greg again. It's been a love and love-hate affair, really, with Augusta, hasn't it? With Greg, 3 seconds, 11 top 10s over the years. I mean, just a fantastic figure. It was good to see him back. Played nicely. Made a 7 on 13 on Friday, or he would have been in the mix again this weekend. And then, of course, Gary Player. Every international player in the world can thank Gary Player for opening up the PGA Tour and the Masters and all international events to the foreign players. I mean, he was the first one to win, and he's just been a tremendous example for all, not just golfers, but for everyone in the world to watch someone excel at what they've done for so long and stay so fit. And he spreads the word. He's just a fantastic guy and a great example for all of us. So we'll miss him.
Well, it was awesome watching both Gary Player and Fuzzy Zeller come up 18 on Friday. It was a great view for me watching on CBS. I think that CBS did a great job of covering it. I will freely admit, I was teary-eyed for both guys, with Gary Player getting those hugs from Trevor Immelman and Rory Sabatini and Louis Oosthuizen there behind 18 green. And then with Fuzzy Zeller, you know, really hit close to home for me with a new 6-week-old daughter myself, seeing his daughter teary-eyed. And it was great drama there. And we're expecting nothing short of another great, great dramatic final round today on CBS. And of course, Ian, you're going to be calling it all right in the middle of the action there on Amen Corner 11 and 12. It's going to be a fun day. Looking forward to the broadcast. Thank you, as always, for joining us. Happy Sunday to you. Happy Easter.
Thanks very much, Russ. Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it. And enjoy the Masters. It's going to be a great one.
Absolutely. There he is, our good buddy Ian Baker Finch, analyst for CBS and ESPN, and of course he'll be right in the mix joining us here on Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic.
Now I don't know who to pick,
Russ.
I'll
tell you what, Pat, I was just going to say a different opinion from what we heard from Tim Rosenfort. It seems like Ian is really thinking there is a good chance for a run. He thinks Tiger and Phil, he said he thinks one of them is going to shoot a 64 or a 65, probably not both of them. It's more likely that they each shoot 68 and grab a spot in the top five, but He really thinks Cabrera and Perry could both falter today.
I'm surprised at that. When we do talk to Ian about making predictions on stuff, he is usually right. So I am now completely discombobulated. I don't know who to pick now. My whole thing is, I almost still don't think it's going to be Tiger and Phil. I think it might be like a Hunter Mahan or an Anthony Kim or just some guy we're not thinking about who has been playing maybe a little erratically, but throwing some shots away, but overall playing really good. And if they can contain that erraticism, if that's a word, today, and really be able to focus on the good stuff that they've been doing, maybe those one of those guys with no pressure, nobody watching them really, but the talent being there and the comfort playing at Augusta, whatever it is that they're feeling today, maybe that's somebody we should be looking at. But I don't know. I'm completely confused.